When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
That's it, Jessica Sterling. I am sick of being the rah-rah girl around here. You trying being the positive one all the time and using words like buckers. I have demons, you know.
We should bring buckers back.
Buckers is back.
Hashtag baby. Bring buckers back.
The BBB bring buckers back.
I love how I'm pretty sure we did hashtags like two podcasts when we first started, and I'm pretty sure we haven't done them since. Do people still do hashtags for podcasts?
I don't know. I think that they try.
They try, yeah.
But I said the time we did it, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it's unnecessary. It honestly is taxing on my brain. So it's like, why are we bothering with this?
Stress.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. Stressed. So today I watched, Will and I started a new show. Have you ever heard of the podcast, Dr. Death?
No.
Heard of that one?
Tell me
basically
about it.
So it's like, if people are into like true crime, it's kind of up that alley, I would say. It's all about this doctor who, and very recently, actually, like it was from like 2012 to 2013, like wildly recent. He's like a spinal surgeon, and he would like purposely, like he knew what to do. Like you'd look at like his plans for his surgeries, and he would have the right plans. But when he got in there, he would be like maiming his patients essentially. And he like hurt, I think like over 30 patients. Now he's, spoiler alert, in jail, which the show shows like right away. But anyway, so now they have a new like mini, I think it's technically a mini series, docu-series maybe, on Peacock. So we've been watching. We watched like two episodes today. And you know who's in it?
Who?
Joshua Jackson.
Oh.
Our own Pacey Witter. But he plays the guy who's the doctor. Mm. And it's like totally weird because, I mean, obviously this is the Boy Meets World podcast, but for those of you who also listen to our Dawson's Creek content, like, Pacey's, like, very, like, charming. Like, Joshua Jackson's very, like, a charming guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird to see him play, like, I don't know if it's a sociopath or a psychopath, but, like, one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Pacey, who knew? Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, that's the thing. Joshua Jackson, oh, my God, I can't say his name. Joshua Jackson obviously ages, but, like, he still looks great for his age.
Well, he had always had a baby face, so that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you were watching something that is so scary.
It's not, that's the thing. It's not scary. Because it's like a, it's based on true events, but it's not exactly a documentary where they're like talking to the actual real people. It's like very much like, what is it called? They say like dramatized for TV or whatever. No, it's not scary. It's not like a psycho killer, like on the loose, like mm-hmm. type of thing. It's much right. more, it's more true crime, which actually is something I enjoy.
Got it.
So give it a shot if people are interested in that thing. It has Alec Baldwin is in it.
Ooh.
It has Christian Slater in it. Like, it has wow. some famous people. So
star-studded cast.
Yes.
I'm watching. I started watching American Horror Stories, which is different than American Horror Story.
Seriously, so, they have two.
Well, why? Yeah, this is new. So, like, okay. You know, like, American Horror Story, it changes every season. Right. But for the most part, they keep the same cast. Like, I mean, at this point, not there's, like, a little bit of, like, a revolving door okay. of cast members. So, but every season, it's a different story. American Horror Stories, which is confusing. Like, that was probably a bad marketing yeah. scheme to name it American Horror Story and American Horror Stories.
Yeah, they should have changed the name up. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's a changes every episode, but with the same. So
it's the like same short, cast, but different like yeah. scary stories.
Story. So it's like, yeah. So it's I like, see. It's like, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, but for adults.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I get it. And how is that yeah. going?
So they released two episodes so far. Both were like a part one and a part two, which they mm-hmm. said that this is not going to happen often. Like, I think they wanted to like dip our toes in because it took place in Murder House, which is like the first season of American Horror Story.
Okay.
And in my opinion, the best, if you want to name, like, which one is your favorite, mine is Murder House. So I think, like, they were like, okay, like, this is a familiar, like, setting. This is, like, a familiar story. So we're going to, mm-hmm. like, start it off just being, like, a two-parter. So it was pretty good. Like, I mean, the thing with American Horror Story is that they know how to, like, make it bad quick. So you're kind of just, like, along for the shitty journey. But, like, hopefully, yeah. hopefully, with it being, like, a short story parameter, then they can't really have time to go off the rails.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's, like, the issue is when you have 12 a episodes. Whole
season. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you start off really good, and then you're, like, by episode 11, you're, like, well, how the heck did I get here?
Yeah, you're a few episodes, and you're, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I think that if you're a fan of American Horror Story, then check it out, because it's just more of the same. There's still some familiar faces, some mm-hmm. new faces. It's always a journey. You know, any Ryan Murphy show starts and ends the same way. What? Really interesting at first, then really takes a nosedive towards the end.
What else is he involved in?
Well, of course, Glee. That okay. one, Scream yep. Queens.
Got it.
All of his shows start off that way. You're like, oh, this is like going really well. I like this. And then five and episodes so in, is like, this is a crap show. Like, what am I doing here?
I love it.
I mean, it's honestly crazy. But,
yeah, that's what we're watching. I feel like we haven't done that in a while. So update on what we're watching. I'm watching a million other things, but I'll bring them up on other podcasts because who has time for any of that? I could talk about all the shows I'm watching. It's always too many.
So you don't need to know our Rolodex of shows.
No, it's a lot. Shall we get into the Boy Meets World of it all? We have two episodes we're covering today.
Yes.
Season 3, episodes 10 and 11, Train of Fools is where we're starting out.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest, didn't remember this episode existed.
What?
I know. I did not remember this one literally at all.
That's crazy. You don't yeah. remember Rebecca Alexa?
I do not remember Rebecca Alexa.
How can you forget?
Yeah, we're like completely skipping over Christmas this season. We're like right on into New Year's.
No, there was a tree last episode.
Was there?
Yeah.
Did they talk about Christmas?
Maybe it was this episode.
Yeah, this episode.
Okay, there was a Christmas tree this episode.
But it was because it was New Year's. So, like, right. I mean, okay, most people keep their tree up to New Year's.
Yeah, Christmas who?
Yeah, so Sean got Corey and him a limo for New Year's. Uncle Laszlo is going to drive it. We get Feeny barging in. He needs money for his driver. Apparently he's going to the Bahamas. Look at you.
Hey. With the dentist, I would assume.
Ooh, fancy. It reminds me of like The Office with like Michael and Jan, and like I feel like they would do that pose. I love Sean giving Feeny shit for like not thinking ahead of time. He's like, you know, you wouldn't be in this situation if you had planned appropriately. And they end up having to give him $20.
I'm surprised that Corey has $20.
I know. I feel like he's always first of all, where he never has a job, so where's he getting money
beyond allowance?
Still?
Yeah. How old is he? Do you mean? He's only like 14. 14-year-olds get allowance.
I suppose.
They do. Until you get a job, you can't 16. Work when you're 14.
Fair.
Unless you're a babysitter, and we know how sucky that Corey is at babysitting.
He's not allowed. He's not allowed to be. Speaking of, I'll talk about it a little bit later on in this podcast, but I'm like, who the fuck's watching Morgan tonight?
I mean, who?
Yeah, she hasn't been in a single episode. We are 11 episodes in. Not a sight of Morgan.
I don't know any Morgans. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Ugh. So we have... Eric is like super excited. He has a date with Rebecca Alexa for New Year's.
The jeans girl. Yeah. So she's a jeans model.
Yeah, like I assume she's like a Levi model or, you know, one of those.
She has very long legs, so I think it was cast appropriately.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving birth to me so that I can go on this date with the supermodel Rebecca Alexa.
Right, who apparently is Jason. So we get a mention of Jason. We don't see him, but it's Jason's second cousin.
Yes.
And she needs a date. I love the moment where he's like, catch me. And nobody does. And he just falls on the floor.
Falls flat on the face. It's New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's, Jessica.
I know. What appropriate timing. Happy New Year's in July.
As it's literally the muggiest of days today.
It's miserable.
We are celebrating New Year's Eve. Amy and Ellen are leaving for their big night of fun. Fancy. I wonder where they're going so fancy.
I know. We don't get to hear much about their night. The one note I will say is that, like, Amy's getting ready. Alan's already ready. Alan's like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm shaving my legs. Do it in the car. She comes down, like, a minute later, and she is done getting dressed. Like, bitch. But
what? Also, she's wearing pantyhose. So yeah, why is she wearing? That's the point of pantyhose, so you don't have to shave, I thought. Except when the little prickly hairs kind of stick through the pantyhose.
I guess, and that's who the fuck is looking? First of all, who's looking at your legs and judging them? Second of all, that's the reason you wear pantyhose, is so you don't have to shave your legs.
I think that's a lazy girl's reason why.
That is an every girl thing. Like, maybe. Come on. I want to hear from one single person who's like, I shave my legs every other day. Like, bitch, you don't. We all know it. You don't.
I'm blessed because I have naturally blonde hair, so
you truly are.
I mean, it's, you can see it, but you don't have to worry that much.
Yeah, no, see, the worst part is that I have like brown hair, but it is not the darkest of browns. It is a lighter brown. No, all of my like body hair is black, like jet black, and it's like, why is this?
Even your arm hair?
That's the weird thing. Like, my armpit hair and my leg hair is like dark black. But no, my arm hair, you can't even barely see it. It's a really light brown. See. And I'm not super hairy. So they're getting ready to go out. Amy is getting like super sentimental on the boys, like, oh, I remember when you guys were young and Corey stuck raisinettes up his nose. You had to get them out with shrimp forks. Who the fuck's watching Morgan? No one gives a shit. We know it's not Feeny because he's in the Bahamas. No one's watching her.
Who cares? Maybe they sent her off to boarding school.
I just love how it's not even mentioned. Like, at all.
Nobody cares about Morgan. The only sighting of Morgan was in the portrait in the last episode.
It's the single season 3 sighting of Morgan.
It's like, oh, good, she's not dead because she's still in the portrait.
She's alive, yeah. We don't have, like, a Rip Morgan, like, shrine to her.
Maybe she went to reform school.
At age 6?
She melts her Barbies. She, yeah. You know, throws breaks out the windows. Vegetables.
Yeah.
It's like, enough's enough, Morgan. You're going to reform school. Yeah,
they gave her away.
Baby boot camp.
So Uncle Laszlo has arrived, but instead of a limo, he is driving a hearse.
Fair enough.
It's a ride.
Why not? So Amy offers Eric to use their car instead of Eric's death trap, which is very ironic. As we find out, that car breaks down too, so the Matthews family do not have any reliable cars. Pliers to start the car. I think my car is like a month away from needing pliers to start my car.
I just don't understand how it's a better idea for like anybody to be driving this car. Like, I don't understand how they're like, oh, don't you worry, Eric, we'll take the death trap.
It got them the good from car. Place to place, unlike whatever car Amy and Alan drive. Yeah,
that's true. That's
they
true.
They need to bring it to Sean's family's mechanic.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, but they'll get ripped off until Sean yells at his uncle.
Yep.
Can we talk about Eli and Turner, because they were such a joy this episode. I really
just
enjoyed their
bros
part.
Hanging out on New Year's Eve on their own, ordering pizza.
Yes.
Beer. What else do you need? They're
beer,
happy.
Pizza, bros, ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're chilling. They're
saving
hanging out.
Money.
Yes. $200. I mean, Eli, honestly, he cannot afford to spend $200 on a girl this year. He got conned by Feeny.
He owes Feeny way too much money to be able to go out on New Year's this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we, like, go through the Rolodex of Jonathan's ex-girlfriends. Janine, who's the clinger. Valerie, who they were only dating for 2 weeks, but had a crap ton of baggage. Eli had a girl named Rochelle, and who Jonathan saw recently and was looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, we get a buzzer. It's not the pizza, is it? It's Janine.
She's so clingy that she was like, I know you hate to be alone. No, that's you. Oh, yeah. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, I love this. Like, you look thin. That's not a compliment. I'll make you lasagna. Lasagna takes forever to make. This bitch knew what she was doing.
Yeah, and don't use the the noodles that you don't have to cook beforehand because it's too crunchy.
I've never had those noodles before, but I would agree with that probably. Like,
it's
just
too
do the crunchy. Extra work and make the
do,
fucking noodles.
If you're going to make a lasagna, which is already such hard work, then just go full force. I've never made a lasagna.
Oh, I have. I once made a really delicious, it was a white lasagna with artichoke hearts. I don't know where the recipe went, but it was so good. And I'll have to look it up sometime and try to remake it. It was so good.
Who has 12 hours to make a lasagna?
I made it for my family for a Christmas Eve dinner or something like that.
But Drew would be so appreciative if I made him lasagna. That would be, remember how I used to talk about before I got engaged, the engagement chicken? That it would be the engagement lasagna. You make a lasagna and you get proposed to.
The engagement chicken. Oh yeah. My god, it's all ridiculous. But yeah, Janine apparently thinks that the way to win a man's hearts is through his stomach, so she's gonna make him lasagna.
But also, you think that Turner has all the ingredients in his apartment to make lasagna?
Who keeps lasagna noodles on hand? Sauce and the meat.
Yeah, I have lasagna noodles in the basement.
I definitely
and
don't.
And I'll tell you why. It's because I aspire to have my shit together one day to make a lasagna.
I love the idea that you have to make an emergency lasagna. You don't have time to run to the store. I need a lasagna stat.
I'll show you when I give you my grand tour, my lasagna box. It's dusty. That's
I'm
how long
sure
I've had
is.
The lasagna and not
Ridiculous.
Made the lasagna. buzzer rings again. This time it's Valerie who has the pizza. And apparently Valerie and Janine know each other. And yeah. This is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, they scream, they hug. Apparently Valerie paid for the pizza, I have to assume. So at least she did, you know, Jonathan a solid.
She did the work.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens when we return to them. Because for now, we're at the Matthews residence. Corey's upset. Apparently the corpse that was in the hearse, I don't know why you'd be driving around, like drop off the body, but whatever, was still alive. So they had to bring it back. Like...
okay. You gotta do what you have to do. You can't drive around. It's their moral obligation. So, yeah, Corey's happy for the stiff, but he really stuck it to us.
Yes. Yeah. So now they're back at the house. And so is Eric, because his lovable Lucille is out with his parents, so he got their car and it broke down. Poor Rebecca Alexa is being
so cool about it. Yeah, she doesn't care. She's like, you know what, it's fine, like I understand.
Yeah. Yep. And I love the idea of, like, it's like Sean and Corey are drooling over Rebecca, and Corey introduces Topanga as a girl from school, which is like, no Corey.
He wises up quick. Also my girlfriend, I love her very much, don't get any ideas.
Yeah. So they finally, Eric gets them the last cab in Philly, and Corey's like begging for a ride. Rebecca finally does a solid. Like, Rebecca's very cool.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my older sister never let me go anywhere with her, I never forgave her. So finally Eric is like, okay, fine, you can come with us. But they get kicked out of the cab. Like, what's weird is that the cab brings them back, because they get kicked out because Corey thinks the guy's an imposter. Or you don't think they even left?
I don't even think they even left. I think that Corey didn't even want to get in the car. And in that case, then I would have thought Eric being like, okay, then get out and I'm going. See you later. Yeah. See ya. Back to the party. So Corey sent the cab away. The license did not match. The picture on the license did not match him. Very suspicious. So Eric is so frustrated. And basically he just says that, you know, what's her face? Rebecca Alexa is still really cool. And she's like, you know what? I didn't want to go to a crowded party anyway. And Topanga's like, let's have our own little party. We'll have popcorn. Right. We'll watch the ball drop. So Rebecca was like, well, how else are we going to get there? The subway? Public transport? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, here's the thing. The only reason Eric, like, because Eric should be cool and just be like, yeah, let's just do a party at home. But no, Eric is like a clout chaser. And so he wants everybody to see him with Rebecca Alexa. So they all end up on this subway. We see a Feeny sign. Like, first of all, why does this exist? It's like the Uncle Sam poster of, like, I want you to stay in school. And it's Feeny. And it's just like, what? Where did this come from?
Feeny is everywhere. All truly eyes is on you. No matter what, no matter where you are, Feeny is watching.
Yeah.
He wants you to stay in school. If I saw Feeny, then I would stay in school. That's for sure.
It is a scary poster.
Yes.
But yeah, so Sean ends up insinuating that Rebecca is just a trophy to Eric, which is the case. Like, that's exactly true. And she gets upset, rightfully so, and ends up, like, skipping out on the subway. She, like, runs off last second.
It was actually Corey that messed up.
Oh, I thought it was Sean that said it.
No. Sean's trying to, like, kick people off because he's like, we got places to go.
Right.
Then they're like, well, we have plenty of time before midnight. And then Corey says, Eric, don't worry, you'll be kissing Rebecca in front of all of Philly just like you wanted.
That's right. No, you're right. It is Corey. But yeah, because that's right. Because then Eric blames him a lot later.
Yeah, he's so mad at Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, and Corey is like, well, I couldn't lie to the supermodel. Her lips can see right through you. So Eric tries to get off the train, but it starts moving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then all of a sudden, the subway stops. It goes black. They're experiencing major technical issues.
honestly, my nightmare. Like, when we went to New York City a few years back and we went on the subway, I was, like, a little bit nervous about it breaking down and stuff.
I mean,
it's not normal for me to ride a subway, though. So, for
someone it happens. I've gotten stuck under the subway. So, I've seen everything. I've seen some really, like, crazy shit on the subway, actually.
I am sure of that.
Yeah.
I love this. Corey's like, oh, I'm gonna act tough. Boy, do I love New Year's Eve. I'd hate to have to kill somebody. And he looks over and there's, like, a real mean-looking dude. And he goes, with my flu virus.
not an appropriate joke for 2020, no. Mr. Corey.
No, but it was, like... Honestly, take your flu mattress. Smart, though. Like, kind of a smart idea if you're nervous to be like, oh, I'm sick.
Yeah, that's what we used to do, but now can't do that anymore.
No.
Yeah, Eric's trying to open up the subway doors, and the guy comes on the overhead announcements.
Yeah.
Don't open the subway doors because of death or dismemberment. One of the things that I've seen on the subway. And then, so then Topanga tries to make everybody happy. Like, it's just a small problem. We're going to, like, get out of here. Yeah. At least the city's saving electricity. And that's when she has her little breakdown. Like, you know what? Like, it's tough being the cheerleader all the time and trying to hype everybody up.
She's been so nice and so, like, peppy the whole episode, and she finally just, like, loses it. I don't blame her. Like, sometimes it's not fun being the person who has to always look on the bright side.
No.
But yes, I love Sean is, like, living his best
living.
Yes, he found, he says there's, like, a car full of schoolgirls who ditched their nun. There's another car that has a girl who went into labor. Like, Sean is like, we've got everything we need here. Like, this is great.
He even has food. Like, he found a bunch of caterers. that he has a tiny crab cake. He has
Yeah, I would love to see these other. That's the one thing I'm like, dang, I would have liked to see the other, like, cars with the other people in them, just to see what Sean was up to when all of this was going down. You know,
yeah, Sean was having the time of his life. Yeah. So, what more do you need? There's food, babes, and birth. The cycle of life is complete. Not without Rebecca Alexa.
Yeah. We have Eric freaking out and using the, like, emergency messenger button. I don't know. But the guy's like, it's emergencies only. And I'm like, to be honest, like, isn't a subway breakdown, like, kind of an emergency?
This is an emergency. This is an emergency. What's not an emergency is missing your date with supermodel Rebecca Alexa, a.k.a. the jeans girl.
Yes. I love how the guy knows it, too. He's like, oh, the jeans girl?
Yeah. Yeah. But life is tough. Is that a crab cake?
I do like a good... Do you like crab cakes?
Yeah, they're fine.
I need a good crab cake. I feel like it's the sauce that kind of does it for me. Like the
what dipping. What sauce?
I don't know.
What
don't sauce? You, like, dip it in sauce?
What's... Which sauce?
I don't know. It's like a, like, pinky creamy color.
Tartar? Is it
a it's not mix? Tartar. No, it's not tartar.
It sounds like it's a mix of
of, like, tartar and the other one, cocktail that, sauce.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know. What do you like eat crab cakes with? I don't know. I don't know what
tartar
it is.
Tartar sauce like. Or cocktail sauce.
I thought that was for, like, shrimp.
So then you mix it.
I don't think you mix it. That sounds weird.
Well, you said it was pink.
I know.
So then you mix it, and that's what you're wanting. You said a creamy pink sauce.
I know, but to it make could a be creamy something pink else. Sauce.
No, I'm. What else would it be?
Vodka I don't know. Sauce?
No. I'm telling you, if that's the sauce that you sauce. Want, I guarantee maybe. It's cocktail sauce plus tartar sauce.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
But unless you're talking about, like, a sriracha or, like, a spicy mayo.
I don't think it's that. I don't really know.
I know what it is. I know what it is. I don't even know. Where did you have this crab cake with the mystery sauce?
I have no
at the
idea.
Wedding?
No.
At the wedding that you just went to?
No, I didn't eat
Where?
Crab cakes there.
Where?
I've had them in the past. I don't know.
When?
Places.
Where? Tell me.
Nobody cares at this point.
Where? At the wedding?
No, it wasn't at a... I don't think it was at a wedding. I feel like I made them at some point. I don't know.
So you made the sauce and you don't even know what sauce it is.
It was a long time ago.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Sarah's quitting the podcast.
I don't know what to say. You would assume if you like a sauce, then you would know what kind of sauce it is.
One would imagine. I don't question the sauce. I just consume it.
They didn't have a sauce. There was no sauce, so there was sauceless.
Like, I'm a big sauce fan. Like, I'm a condiment fan. Like, I love sauces on stuff. Like, if it has dipping sauce, like, I'm game.
Not enough.
Not enough to remember
what you like.
We're back at Turner's apartment, and we have his exes talking all about him. Apparently, he broke up with them the same way by saying, I'm just not ready for such a commitment.
We know that this is Turner's signature. He did the same to Kat.
Yes, he's a commitment phobe.
Well, guess what, Turner? You're 35 years old. Buck up, buckaroo. Get a life. It's time to get married.
Next time I'm doing something that you don't appreciate, I would appreciate being told to buck up, buckaroo. Like, that is the only thing you're allowed to say to me.
Like, come on now. You're 35. What are you waiting for?
Sorry. For some reason, the way you just said that, it was like very like The Notebook. What are you waiting for? Isn't that a thing from the... Anyway.
I don't know.
No, but you're right. It's like, get it together, Jonathan. To be fair, I feel like neither of these women feel like the right fit for him anyway.
We want to be like a fuckboy until you're 54? Like, come on now.
I mean, let him live his own life. Maybe he's not ready to settle down, you know?
Ugh, gosh. Gosh.
Don't date
Mr. Turner.
Eli, on the other hand, is loving this.
Oh, yeah, no. He is just like having a grand old time. Laughing at his friend. He's there for the lols, as the kids say.
He is.
Yeah, that's pretty chuggy to see that. Yeah, so he asks Eli to help with the plates. And Eli says, Jonathan, I don't think I'm ready for such a big commitment.
Eli is great. I'm loving the relationship between Eli and Turner. I love that we got more of it in this episode. I feel like they're really, really fun together.
Yeah, Eli is happy that the women are there, even though it was supposed to be a bro night.
He's just enjoying watching. I think it's like a sporting event for him, you know?
Yeah.
So we're back on the subway. Eric is trying to get a child to deliver a note to Rebecca. Eric, like, this is such a bad idea. Like, such a bad idea for so many reasons.
The mother takes the kid away right away.
Mm-hmm.
Sean comes in and says that Mrs. Ginelli is real close to having the baby. Does anyone know anything about deliveries? Sees a pizza guy and says, you'll do.
Yeah, that was great. I loved that. Meanwhile, Eric is still very pissed off at Corey. He says, you're the reason for all of this. This is all your fault. I wanted a big party. And you'd have to be an idiot to have a good time down here. And then we see Sean just like, he's having the best time.
In a party hat.
Yes.
He got Corey a Coke, but not Topanga, not Eric. How rude. If you're going to take a Coke, get a Coke. Get a Coke for everybody, not just for your best friend. Or give the Coke to Topanga. Because
Lady. Corey would share it. You know, the same thing. With Topanga, yeah.
Is it believable that Sean's uncle is the Pope?
No. But we know Sean. They don't. So, you know. But yes, Corey says he's going to have a good time regardless of where they are, which I think is personally the right mentality. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, it's New Year's. If you're sitting in a subway that is stuck, it's not going anywhere, you might as well make the most of it. You're there with your friends at the very least, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's what Corey says, but Eric's not with his friends, you know?
No, but at least he knows people. And, like, you can make friends, you know? He's someone who can make friends anywhere.
He could make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Eli is between the girls now, and Jonathan's like, I can't deal with this. Like, I'm going to go to the roof and get out of here. And his New Year's resolution is to hate Eli's guts.
I love this. And this is when we see Lynn arrive, another ex, but apparently this is the one that he only went out with once, and she says she's crying and she needs closure on their relationship. You went out once. What are you doing?
Yeah. Why do you have to be so hostile? I just want to be with somebody who will listen to me. And that's when Jonathan passes Lynn off to the crew.
Yeah, and this is where if I'm Eli, I'm like, ooh, this is going to turn into like a Debbie Downer situation. Like, we need to bring up the mood because that's what I'm saying. The other two were having a great time. I want to be in that party. But the minute that the woman that comes in is like sobbing, I'm like, all right, I don't know if that's I want to be at this party anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, now Corey is having a great time. Everybody in the train is dancing. They all have their party hats on. They're passing out hors d'oeuvres. Yes. It's definitely the party car. And there's even a place to chat if you want to go by the sad guy.
Yes. The thing is that I did not I'm like, so they have that, like, there's another teenage guy character. He's just a random guy. And he's like, oh, you pulled it together and turned it into a pate. And, like, what? No one understands what he's saying.
What do you mean? What? A what? Yeah,
a pate.
I can't make out what you're saying. What are you saying?
A party.
Oh, okay. A yes. party. Got it. Got it. Exactly. And on top of that, like, I think that Sean made it into a party.
Yes, he did.
Not Corey, but Corey's like, I'll take the credit.
Mm-hmm. No, it was definitely Sean who brought the party atmosphere.
Yeah, he like got everybody like jamming. Mm-hmm. Topanga wants to give Corey a big kiss before the garlic balls get passed out.
That's a smart move, but I would still, oh my God, I would love a garlic ball. Yum.
Garlic ball. What is that? Like a garlic knot?
I assume it's the same thing as a garlic knot.
Sounded like it. Yeah, Eric takes the garlic ball because he has nobody to kiss. Corey apologizes. Yeah, for the millionth time. I am sorry about Rebecca, Alexa. He's like, you know what? New Year's Eve always sucks. It never comes out as planned, especially for us. Remember the time that they made popcorn in the radiator and almost burned the house down? The blonde babysitter curled your hair. And I love, like, the line, when do you think it's going to go back to the way it was?
Yeah, that was very funny.
I think this is a true statement. Surprise, surprise, I don't like New Year's Eve either. As well as every other holiday, it seems. And that's because it's always rough. Like, I have had a million bad New Year's Eve experiences.
I don't especially care about New Year's.
I hate it.
My best friend, she loves New Year's. It's, like, her favorite holiday. She loves to, like, throw a party. And, like, I think she looks at it as, like, oh, new beginnings, you know? Like, it's the start of a new year.
I get sad. I hate the song Old Lang Syne. Honestly, it makes me cry.
Why is this not a surprise?
It makes me so upset. I hate it. I hate Old Lang Syne. It makes me really depressed.
I mean, okay. I don't know. I never really thought about it too hard, I guess. But yeah, I guess Eric says, you know, oh, they were all pretty good, especially this one. You know, thanks. And they count down to the ball dropping. Sean found twins, which Topanga mistakenly thinks are the babies that were born, but no, they're for him.
It's Linda and more Linda.
Yeah, that was ridiculous and very
Sean
funny.
Was hilarious this episode.
He was very good.
Happy New Year's to all and all a good night. Kisses for all, quiches for all.
Yeah,
quiches.
I just like that line. I thought that was silly. Quiche, don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
Yes. But, this was a cute little ending.
Credit scene. We got the credit scene. Feeny comes back with a tan. A big tan.
Very tanned.
Very tan. Still doesn't have money. All he has is Bahamian cash and airline peanuts, which they do not serve anymore. Peanuts are not sold on, are given out on airlines because people are allergic.
Yeah, it's like
you
crackers.
Get pretzels.
Yeah. Pretzels. I think I've gotten a choice last time. I got like Cheez-Its and stuff once, which is good.
Alan just has a dollar and he decides instead of asking the boys for more money, he rather risk his liver and go to the bank machine.
This is the same driver that Corey and Sean had.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's so great. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was fun. Like, did I think that it was a episode to remember? Probably not, but I thought it was funny. I thought that Sean was like so hilarious this episode.
Yeah.
I liked the Eli and Turner stuff. I thought that was fun. The whiny Eric stuff and the Rebecca Alexa was less interesting to me. But
yeah.
having everybody on the train in one place was kind of fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say that, like, I feel like we've been there, done that with the Eric and Rebecca Alexa type of stuff. Like, we've seen him pine after women and then get left behind or whatever, whatever. We've seen it before. The stuff I did like was kind of similar to you. I love the Turner and Eli moments. I really liked that little moment at the end between Eric and Corey. I thought was nice because we don't get a ton of that. And yeah, Sean was the best. He was probably my favorite of the episode. He just like was all about, he doesn't care. Like he's just going to have a good time no matter where he is, which I appreciate.
Do you love the party hats?
Like, do I love them wearing them?
Yeah, I loved those party hats.
Yeah, they were fun. Really cute. They were like, pretty, I don't know. They had like a lot of like feathers and
there's
stuff.
Feathers. So fun.
They're very
much
festive.
Much better than the cone party hat.
Agree. I will definitely agree with that. Yeah, no, it was a decent episode. Was it memorable? No, because I didn't remember it, like nearly at all. Like the only thing that sounded vaguely familiar to me was like once they got stuck on the subway, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I remember this. But
the Feeny poster? I remember the Feeny poster.
I didn't remember the Feeny poster.
Really?
No.
I remembered.
But yeah.
You know what I do remember?
What?
Our next episode.
I did too. Episode 11, City Slackers.
Yeah. Hey, 1996 now. This aired on January 5th, 1996.
We were in 96. Woo. Look at us go. Flying through.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yes. So we start off at the Matthews residence. I don't know why Sean even bothers to say, oh, the best thing about studying here is there's no Feeny. Like, he knows Feeny lives next door.
Feeny's right next door.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a knock, knock, knock. There he is. Ready for the test, kids? Apparently, Sean's history book is still in its packaging for resale value. Who the fuck are you selling this to, Sean?
I mean, absolutely. If you sell your book on Chegg.com and it's still in the cellophane, you will make more money.
To be fair to Sean, like, this was a big thing about, like, in college. Like, not in high school or anything, but in college, like, getting the most for your used books, which cost a fucking shit ton, was always key. And going to, like, the used bookstore to buy them, where they always want the latest edition. It's like, bitch, they changed two words in the newest edition. I don't need that shit.
Right. In high school, you get lent your books.
Right.
You even get to see, like, the last seven people that had the book before you. And you're always like, oh, like, this bitch had my book. Like, crazy.
Do you remember? Because we grew up in the age where, like, originally, way back in the day, you had to take paper bags to make, like, covers for your books to keep them intact.
Yes.
But then, once we got older, they had those, like, stretchy covers. Do you remember those? Yes.
Book socks.
Book socks.
But sometimes with certain books, the book socks fucked up your book spine. So they kind of got banned a little bit.
Oh, really? That didn't happen to me. But I could totally see how that would happen.
You had to order the jumbo. You can't use the
small. Oh, you had to get the right size. Yeah.
You had to get the jumbo book sock for the big books. And that's where you went awry.
Yeah. The one thing I did like about like the old school like paper cover was you could like write the subject on it and like draw on it and make it all cute.
Right.
But yeah, those are fun. I don't know. It just reminded me of that.
Do you remember the logo? I remember the logo vividly.
Was it red and white?
It was definitely red.
Okay.
Red, like a red, like, sock dude.
Yes! Okay. Yes, I remember this.
SOX. Socks. I think it's socks. Book socks.
I remember those back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This guy, he has a small head and big feet. And there was always, like, so many patterns. The tie-dye, I remember that. Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Mm-hmm. Wow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Feeny's upset with them. Amy asks if they're in trouble. Apparently, the reason Feeny came over is because he has a birthday present for Amy, because her birthday is on Sunday. And it is a key to Feeny's cottage in the Poconos Mountains.
Ooh. A romantic getaway for you and you. Alan already has plans for them. I don't think this is true. I don't think that he really has plans for them, but he claims that they do.
I mean, it makes sense. It's kind of last minute for Feeny to be giving them, like, getaway plans for the weekend, like a day before the weekend starts when it's her birthday. Yeah.
And it better not be watching the Eagles game, because I would be mad.
Oh, no. Big mad. That would not be okay.
No.
Yeah, so Alan's like, oh, you know, maybe another weekend. I have no idea how Sean gets a hold of these keys. Did you see it happen, like, during
the episode? I did not see it, but I'm guessing if we watched back, maybe Feeny put it on the counter, and then maybe.
Yes.
I wonder if you really can see them doing that. That would be very interesting, or if it was just like, I swiped the key and you don't really know how that happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to
have to. Yeah, you have to do some smooth moves.
I'm going to, you know, while we discuss the rest of the episode. Oh, yeah,
try to find it.
I'm going to see if I can see this slick action.
Yeah, so Sean basically, as a distraction, throws his textbook out the door. And he's like, oh, Corey, can you help me find that in the backyard? You know about your backyard. So they get out there. They have this, like, really ridiculous conversation about a club and having a code for the club and, like, all this nonsense. Yeah,
guys like us should have a code.
Yeah, like, what do you need a code for, Sean?
What do you, for times like this, when you need to talk incognito?
I think then...
Should
we? Maybe you just need a code word.
Should we have a code?
What's our code going to be? I mean, everybody's going to know it. We're on a podcast right now.
Schmook, schmooks,
books. Well, how would that sound normal in a conversation?
I just said book socks, so...
Wow. Oh, backwards?
I don't know. We need to... Okay. So I have spotted it. I have spotted the moment. We were definitely just like... what is it called? Like lollygagging or whatever. What's
stalling?
Stalling. Yeah, okay. So we have a swift movement by Sean spotted at around 1:40.
Go, Sean.
1:40 in. So Amy gets the package, opens it up, and then puts the present on the island. Then she hugs Alan and they talk to Feeny. In the background, you see Sean pick up the key and throw his book outside.
We love to see it.
Yes. So this, you do see it 1 minute 40 seconds in. Well, it starts at 1:32. At 1:32, Amy puts down the present at exactly 1 minute.
You sound like a CSI. Like,
this is serious.
Okay.
At 1:39.
Oh, my goodness. No, people could just watch the episode.
Okay, fine. Then watch the episode. I'm trying to be at 1:49. Sean swipes the key. I'm trying to be thorough.
If
you
want to
have the best podcast ever, then we have to be thorough.
I mean, that's what qualifies as the best podcast ever.
Probably not. Not anymore.
So they discuss going up to Feeny's cabin. It's going to be a mountain full of young, healthy snow bunnies.
None for you, Corey Matthews.
No.
What about Topagino?
Topagino. So Sean says that Feeny makes him miserable, and this is his way of getting back at him. And Corey's, like, resistant, but eventually he's like, well, you know I'm going with you, so let's just do it.
Yeah. Yes. So at school, Sean got bus tickets or train tickets?
Bus tickets.
To go up to the mountains. He just checked the weather report. It just snowed. Corey points out that they don't ski, but, you know, we don't learn at school and we still go to school, don't we? Sure.
Good point by Sean. We have Eric approaching Turner. Apparently, Turner teaches Eric as well. Yeah. And he says that I saw you talking to Bianca. And he's like, well, I'm her teacher. Could you teach her to go out with me? It's like ridiculous, but this apparently this girl only likes jocks. And so he approaches her, and she's like, "Oh, you're the smart one, right?" And he says, "I might be class Victorian," which just good. So good.
Yeah.
Are you it's a jock? Going well already. I've warned them.
And she's funny.
Did you recognize this girl at all?
No, I don't know this girl.
She is in Dexter. She plays the woman who gets married to Dexter. If anybody watched that.
I love how you don't say Dexter's wife. You're like the woman that gets married to Dexter instead of yeah. like, oh, it's Dexter's wife. I've never seen Dexter. I don't know. Maybe that is not so funny. Maybe that is something that has to do with the storyline.
But yeah, her voice and like her face and voice are exactly the same. Like the voice she has on the show is also the voice she has on Dexter. Like that very like breathy, like ethereal sounding voice. But yeah, she seems like semi into him. Like at least as much like she goes to out with him at Chubby's, so we know that she's like somewhat interested.
So Eric asks Bianca why what's up with the jock thing, and Bianca likes to date winners, and she's like so what sport do you play, and he's like, do you know anything about pool? I'm a grandmaster. So they go to the back of Chubby's where the pool table is, and he's like, yeah, like I went to the Mexico City Championships in 1964.
Yeah, you see this scar?
Yeah, we know that Eric was born in the 70s, so this does not check out.
No. And this is when Joey and Frankie approach. Joey says that, oh, Eric implied that he wants to challenge Frankie in pool because he approached the table. And, you know, she, Bianca, is all about it. She's like, oh, I'd love to see the master at work. It'd make me very happy. But Frankie has his own pool cue, so they're in trouble.
Oh, I wrote Frankie has his own stick.
Frankie has his own stick.
Yeah.
I love this.
I forgot what it's called. Not even a pool stick. I was just like, his own stick.
He just has a fucking stick.
It's a stick.
Oh my god.
Ranger Mark. Ridiculous. Hi, Ranger Mark. Ranger Mark lets Corey and Sean into the lodge. Yeah. They're very cold. I guess they got a ride from Ranger Mark instead of
because they got to they had to get to the bus station, but then like they had to get to the cabin. So yeah, Ranger Mark was very adorable. I really appreciated him. I love their explanation of like, oh well, we're brothers. Oh, cousins. Oh, brother cousins. No need to explain. I'm from mountain people. And we find out the nearest ski lodge is 2 full miles away. And keep in mind, these people, they don't have cars. They don't have bikes. Yeah. They don't have any of that. Nope. And I love Sean being like, don't worry, Corey. It's only 1 mile each. Like, we got this.
That would only work if you, like, gave somebody a piggyback ride for 1 mile.
Yeah.
And then you switch.
And then you switch, yeah. But then he tells, like, this, like, scary story about Grady's axe and, like I don't really – I guess this is all just to, like, make them scared when Feeny arrived.
Spook them. Yeah. Yeah,
but there's a girl who fell in love with young ski instructor. A man hacked him up with his axe and takes his own life out of jealousy. But, yeah, like, Corey has a good point of, like, well, if he took his own life, like, how can he come back?
And yeah. Rangers I like, swear this is absolutely going to be the next episode of American Horror Stories.
That would Guaranteed. Be wild if it was.
Yeah. Yeah, now locals every year return to the mountain or say that he returns to the mountains to seek his bloody revenge.
Yes.
Ranger Mark asked, do you know how to turn on the electricity? And the boys are like, yeah, we know how to turn on a switch.
Like, they should know better than, like, it being just a switch. Like, it's the electricity, like, as a whole,
okay.
Children.
Okay, so what's the dealio here? As you know, I don't go to cabins. I don't go camping. Do they turn off the main power source every single time? So,
usually, like, it really depends on how often you're going up. If this is Feeny's cabin, and from what we understand, he doesn't go there often, usually, especially if you're not going to visit in the winter, you winterize your cabin.
What?
So you winterize it. So you drain all the water. Okay, so if you left your cabin not heated, with water running through the pipes, what would happen is the pipes would freeze and then burst and you'd have a flood.
Okay, so you have to turn off the water.
So you have to drain the water.
How do you drain water from your house?
You turn off the water and then you like basically drain all of it out of the pipes so that the pipes are empty.
How do you do that?
I just said.
No, but how do you take the
you water turn off out of the pipes? Water?
So you're I've basically got that part. Cutting... Okay, that's the easy part. I understand.
Yeah, no, you're cutting. I'm sorry. What I should say is you're turning off the water like at the source.
Yeah,
and then what you're gonna do? You
drain the water from the pipes.
So you'd like turn on your faucet and like let the water go into the drain.
Okay.
Yeah. And got so it. Basically you do that. Usually you don't have like the electricity turned on because you the whole point is like if you're not utilizing it, why would you want to pay for heat, electricity, right. water, all of those things, right? So when they're getting to this cabin, Feeny hasn't been there in a long time. So none of those things are currently on. I don't know the ins and outs of Feeny's cabin either. Like it looks a bit rustic in my opinion. So but yeah, so basically
but not creepy, it's nice.
It's very nice. But they don't know how to turn the electricity on. So they try to flip the switch, nothing happens. We're back at Chubby's. To be honest, this whole Chubby's thing was not my favorite story. Like I was like, who gives a shit about the pool table? I don't care.
I don't know. Well, essentially, I mean, we can wrap it up in 5 seconds. Nobody can sink a ball. It yes. escalates from playing for 1 hour to 15 hours. Nobody ever
We have balls like, exploding. Sinks the ball. We have balls flying off the table. Yeah. We have Eli like joking and laughing and making fun of this whole situation. We have a whole right. crowd forming.
Yeah, Bianca eventually like leaves because right. he's a loser and not a winner.
Yes, and that is yeah. literally the whole storyline of right. Chubby's.
So and then essentially what happens is that they call off the game 15 hours later.
Right.
As soon as Frankie and Joey leave, Eric sinks all the balls in at once, and he says, just like what happened in Mexico.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and that's it. Now, that's it. Now you know. Now you know now what happened. Now you know
what happens, but back to the cabin because that's more interesting. right, so the ski lodge turns out to be closed because no one is on the mountain because guess what? Yeah. There's no fucking snow.
Yeah, it took them 2 hours there and back to, and just think if it was snowing,
oh, then it would longer. Take
so much longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Sean swears that the weather report said that there is snow in the Rockies. And then Corey's like, we're in the Poconos.
Yeah.
I remember him saying Poconos vividly. We're yeah. in the Poconos.
And I love it because Sean thought Rocky was just a description. You know, like it's the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, just like a chewy nougat.
Yeah.
We got no power, no lights, no heat. What are we going to do?
Dun, dun, dun. Lights come on. I love the line from Sean. Either the lights came on or I had an idea. We see the door opening. Sean is much smarter of the two because he at least grabs like a fire poker and Corey has a broom as if that's going to help him at all.
Splinters. Yes, that's the only thing you got. You got splinter power.
Feeny enters and Corey tries to lie and say that his parents are on the way. They came ahead to prep the place.
Not a bad lie.
It's not the worst lie, but it's
not the worst not lie. Great. Not great. Feeny sees right through it.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's heard all the excuses. So Feeny knows you definitely stole the key to have a good time.
Yeah. And he came to pack up, basically. He's done with the place.
Yeah.
He wants done. To sell it. He says, we're not going home. We're stuck here until morning. I love Sean trying to flip Feeny for the only bed in the place.
Yeah.
And he catches it.
You lose.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest, like one of my favorite Feeny episodes is this one. I absolutely love it.
So good. They all have dinner together and Sean mm-hmm. is doing the spoon game, which I've participated
Everybody
in the
has. Spoon game.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any spoons right now. I would have been interested to see how long I could last.
I have a big schnoz. I feel like I could do a decent job.
You think
job.
He could do well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Corey asked to borrow Feeny's watch to keep time, and Feeny's like, no. Sean's previous record is 7.5 hours. Do you think that you could beat that?
No, because I can't sit still for seven. That is ridiculous. 7 hours.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping.
Right. So, you know, Feeny is just like kind of getting on Sean's case. Like, you can spend that time doing schoolwork. Like, right. Why does that bring you pleasure? Like, what's the deal? And basically, Sean says, like, I don't know why he hates me.
Yeah, he thinks that Feeny hates him. Yeah. I love Corey saying, you know, the British, they're a little stiff.
yeah, because I don't know why, but, like, Feeny does come off as British, even though he does not have a British accent.
He has, like, that distinguished air about him.
Yes.
Yeah, so Sean says they're complete opposites. They'll never get along. And Sean, like, just took guts, like, to just go up to Feeny and be like, Feeny, why do you hate me so much? And Feeny's like, I beg your pardon? Is that what you think? I'm always trying to get the best out of you. I don't hate you. It just frustrates me to see a charismatic young man with so much potential basically just wasting it. And I love this scene because, like, we see a lot of lessons from Feeny to Corey and from Feeny to Eric. It's rare that we see a Feeny-Sean moment, right? Like, Turner is usually in that role, or Corey is in that role. Not usually Feeny. So I love this. And I just love that, like, Feeny knows everything about Sean and Sean doesn't even realize it.
Exactly. Because he takes a special interest in Sean from the very beginning. And maybe we don't really, you know, get to see that as much as we saw it with Corey in the first season.
Right.
But he definitely has a soft spot for Sean, and he will always have a soft spot for Sean. But he starts spitting out facts that are not only something that you would find in a transcript, but off the transcript. We learn that Sean's middle name is Patrick, so his name is Sean Patrick Hunter. He was born in Ohio, lived in Oklahoma, and has been in and out of 5 schools before he was 12, which is a little suspect because we've had previous dialogue that, oh, we've known you since preschool.
Yeah, but the show is not known for its continuity, so.
No. And he knows that Sean's favorite band is the Counting Crows.
Which wouldn't be on a transcript, right?
Right.
And then Sean knows nothing about Feeny.
None.
Asks him, like, oh, don't you know that much about all your students? And he says, no, I don't. Like, it's not, I don't know everything about all my students. I mean, it'd be kind of impossible for him to.
Well, do you think that he knows as much about Sean because he's so obsessed with Corey and that's Corey's best friend? Probably.
Possibly. It seems like, I mean, we'll probably joke about this by, like, the end of the series, but it's like he took a very special liking to, like, 3 students, 4, I guess, if you count Eric, out of, like, the entire student body.
Yeah, but all surrounded around Corey. So, really, he has a special interest in Corey.
And
it's fine. It's fine.
But yes, I love that, like, Sean wants to know something about Feeny, and Feeny's like, well, I hate dishes, so you guys got this, right?
Yes, but Feeny, so this is the thing. Feeny, before this, takes off his watch and puts his watch on top of the sink. Then Corey's doing the dishes, and he hits something, and then the watch, falls into the sink. Corey reaches into the sink, tries to pull the watch out, but instead pulls out, like, the drain stopper, and the watch gets down the drain. Feeny is pissed and upset, but Feeny, you're the one that left the watch in a bad spot.
Well, I think the thing is, it's like, it's a weird drain, because it has to be basically just, like, a hole. And the only thing that's, like, a grate over top of it is the actual stopper. I mean, to be fair, a lot of people take off their jewelry when they're doing dishes and put it, like, up on the top where he put his.
Yeah, it makes me nervous. It makes me rethink where I should put my ring when I'm doing dishes.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah. But I'll
put it, like,
get a little dish for it.
Have a dish. I don't put my ring on, like, a little on the sink itself.
Well, then put it in the dish. What's going to happen?
I hit it and it falls down. I don't know. Anything could happen.
So Feeny, like, tries to pretend like it's all fine, but we hear him mention it's a 30-year-old watch. And, you know, they don't really think much of it. up until Corey finds Sean up reading, and it turns out he's reading Feeny's diary. He says, I do believe him when he says, I wanted to find things out about Feeny. He knows so much about me. To me, it makes perfect sense because Sean's not picking up a book just for nothing, right? Like,
right. It does, no, not at all.
Does track. So he's reading about, like, how Feeny used to come up to this cabin with his wife Lillian. So he reads a few different passages, one from 1961, where Feeny cut class to come up with Lillian, which was really fun, because we've seen, like, that spark of rebellious energy in Feeny. Like, namely, I'm thinking of, like, when he's, like, speeding with the car, and we see him with the gloves and stuff.
Yeah, he's a trickster.
Yes, yes, he is a con man. And then he talks about 1965. It was his and Lillian's 5th anniversary, and she got him that watch. And not only that, but, like, just the way it was written, too, like, really got me. You know, like, he talks about being able to see her face in the reflection of the face of the watch, and it was really beautiful. And it's, like, you kind of – that's the moment they both realize, like, shit, like, that's the watch. Right. And this, right. Correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first time we are hearing that Feeny was ever married.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey knew, but Sean never even knew. Yeah. So his wife, Lillian, at this point, we don't really know what happens to Lillian.
Right.
So, but yeah. I love how he doesn't make it out to the slopes. No regrets.
Yes.
Hey.
That was very funny. Yeah, I also love that.
Interesting that Feeny and Lillian decided to get married on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
of 1960.
Such a romantic, that Feeny.
Feeny is a big romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next morning, Feeny's packing boxes and Corey runs in, says that he needs a flashlight and a wetsuit.
Yeah. He's soaked. So is Sean. Yeah. They're disgusting.
Yeah. They dripping everywhere. Feeny's getting, like, really pissed. He's, like, basically, like, I've had enough. Like, you guys came here, like, uninvited. Like, now you're making a huge mess and fucking around in my septic tank. Like, what is this?
Yeah. And this is when Sean hands him the watch, and, like, Sean basically says that they know that it was, like, an anniversary present. And I love Feeny not even like yelling at him, not being like, how dare you, like, you know, like, basically, you know, kind of just break my privacy, you know, you're just reading a book that doesn't belong to you. But instead of saying any of that, he just says, you read a book, Mr. Hunter?
Joey Potter should take notes.
I was going to say, we have to talk about the crossover between this and Dawson's Creek.
Yeah,
like,
so in
A little different.
A little different. In Dawson's Creek, Dawson reads Joey's diary, and in particular, the part where Joey says that, like, Dawson isn't a good filmmaker, which I think, like, is what upset Dawson. But Dawson brings it up.
Yeah,
Dawson brings it up. Joey flips out, like, goes psychotic on Dawson about reading my diary.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Feeny, like, doesn't really give a fuck. But Feeny's like, oh, you know, he does thank them for getting the watch back, and he tells them to take a dip in the lake and clean up. And I love how Corey's like, we'll freeze. He's like, Take a sweater. Like, they can use it. I'm sure he has a shower at the cabin, but, you know.
No. It's punishment. Go take a dip in the lake.
Yeah. So we're back at the Matthews residence. Alan, Amy, and Turner are all very upset with Corey and Sean. And I love Feeny here. He's, like, a pretty cool guy. He tells them that their behavior was wrong, but the spirit was right. They're two good guys.
Yeah, pulling for you boys.
This is, like, the highest of praise and compliment from Feeny. Of, you know what I mean? He's hard to get a compliment out of.
Absolutely. So Corey tries to give the key back, and because he's going to need it to sell the place. And Feeny is like, I'm not so sure if I'm going to sell it. They also give back Feeny's spoon.
Yeah, I love him putting the spoon on his nose, and he's like, I still don't get it.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest and say I love this episode. I mean, obviously, I like it more than the first episode. I don't think it's really a fair comparison, though. We just get so much more Feeny content. We get backstory. We get really great moments between Sean and Feeny, which are very rare. I just feel like we've had a lot of Feeny being, yes, he means well, and yes, he's trying to get the best out of his students, but he can be very harsh, and he can be a little tough on them. And so it's really nice to see, like, a softer side of Feeny. And we know that he, like, he must keep those things very close to him. Like, not a ton of people know, I'm sure. And so to kind of see the softer side of Feeny just was very nice. And it's like, you, it makes you wonder, like, what about Lillian? What happened to Lillian? Like, what was she like? You know, it just kind of puts you in that headspace.
Right, exactly. I like to see a little bit of an Feeny origin story. I think it's nice. I don't think that we get another reference to Lillian. I'm trying to quickly look it up, and it, in my understanding, there's only been one reference to his wife, and it's in this episode, which is pretty sad.
I feel like that's doing Feeny a disservice as a character, if I'm being
honest. I believe that, too.
It's like, I feel like if this was a modern show, this is, again, this is the 90s, this is a sitcom, it's not, it doesn't, I mean, they do heavier topics, but it's more focused around the kids. I just wish we would have gotten a little bit more of the story behind Feeny, because whenever we do hear about his past, it's always great, right? Like, what comes to mind is in season one when he talks about his father and all of that, and how, like, impactful that scene was on us when we talked about it. I mean, we talked about it as being one of the better scenes in season one. So to not get more of Feeny's backstory besides this, like, that's, it's a bummer. Like, I feel like they should have known what they had. I mean, he's a great actor. Like, he can act the crap out of any scene he's in. I wish they would have given him a little bit more.
Absolutely. And you're with Feeny the entire seven seasons. So as much as this is the story about the boys, it's is as much a story about Feeny. Like, we should have gotten, like, a flashback episode of Feeny in his youth. Like, something.
If this was a modern show, we definitely would have. I know it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great episode. I love this episode. I remembered it. I just think, like, again, we get a Sean Feeny moment that I just think is, like, very valuable. I really enjoyed it. I'm really excited for what's to come, because we're kind of hitting our stride here in season three, I think. But are you ready for the fashion hour?
Fashion hour.
Talks.
Let's go.
Fashion.
Talks. That our new song?
Let's talk, get some fashionable. Fashionable. Oh. No, that's 80s, isn't it? Let's get physical. Is that 80s? I think it's
80s. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that song.
Fashion. You had a lot to choose from, by the way. There were some good outfits.
I know. So my first outfit for the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit is Amy's party look. So this is a long black dress with a big slit right in the middle, a white collar that is like a tuxedo collar, essentially. Yeah. And that goes towards the back in like a halter fashion, and then has these like really interesting straps on her back. It's like an open back, but it has these four straps to like make it kind of reminds me of like Spider-Man.
I see it. So yeah, it's kind of like a cage.
Yes, her hair is in a French twist. She's wearing see-through black stockings or pantyhose,
yeah,
and a black heel.
I'm obsessed with this look, mainly the back. I think the back is gorgeous, and I love her hair in this style because, let's be honest, we know Amy, poor Amy, has a lot of 90s hair.
Yes.
But I love this outfit. I think you're right. Like, I think it totally is a 90s outfit, but I feel like you could update this and wear it. I mean, let's be real. If it's a black dress, you can update that shit and rewear
Very
it.
True. Very true.
I love. I feel like we always do this. Whenever Amy dresses up, we're like, yes, we stand.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It is. Next up, we have Rebecca Alexa, the jeans girl. Not in jeans this time. Rebecca Alexa has her voluminous, thick hair in a side part with her bangs like tucked under behind her ears. She's wearing a black shirt, and then she's wearing a two-piece satin party suit.
I love, like, the question mark in your voice of, like, yeah, so what exactly is this?
It's champagne colored. It's satiny. It's shiny. The pants match the jacket, but the jacket's kind of like a...
It's like a short trench coat.
Like, exactly, like a trench coat, but with, like, big satin lapels and, like, a satin... It's monochromatic. It's all one color, the champagne color. The little waist tie is the champagne color in satin. Black shoes. The pants are, like, wide-legged and billowy. It's like, fancy pajamas, but also, like, a clubbing outfit.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest. Here are the pros and the cons of this outfit. Pros. Looks very comfortable to be in. Like you said, it's basically, like, fancy pajamas. That's about all for the pros. The cons are, I think it's kind of hideous. And I imagine if you sit down, you're just going to fucking slide off.
Oh, yeah. Very slippy. Yeah.
You just imagine sitting on like a leather seat and you just right off of it.
Yeah, it'll just slip right off.
Yeah, I do think it's hideous, but I do think it's also 90s. So, you know.
There we go. Yeah. And then my last nomination is Mr. Feeney's like Bahamas outfit when he gets back. So freaking tan. I wonder if they just spray tanned.
Oh, Feeney. They definitely did. They had.
I love that. Yeah. So he is wearing some khaki pants. He looks like a broke version of Indiana Jones. Khaki pants, black shoes. His button-down shirt is like some sort of like Hawaiian like. But also, like, he, like, looks like he would be smoking a Cuban cigar.
Yes.
Like, a khaki, like, coat or jacket. His hat is, like, so styling. It's an Indiana Jones slash, like,
it's cabana like a straw hat. Yeah, straw cabana hat type of thing.
With, like, a scarf around the top. Yeah. His vacation look is such a vibe.
I love it. I feel like the hat makes the look for me. Like, you can't, if he doesn't have a hat on, it's not even a full ensemble. But I appreciate that despite the fact that he's home in Philadelphia, he's still rocking the vacation look. He's like, I'm on vacation until I step foot in that school, you know? No, I appreciate this look, but I can't not give the point to Amy because, like, she's so fucking classy, man. Like, I just love this look. And I think that, like, it is very 90s. Like, you wouldn't see those huge lapels now, you know?
Right,
like,
exactly.
I love this look. I think it's so elegant and beautiful. And so, as much as I love Vacation Feeney, I have to give it to Amy.
Vacation Feeney is such a legend. But congratulations, Amy. Next up is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nomination is Corey arriving at the cabin. He is wearing like a red puffy jacket. Underneath, he's wearing his like flannel vibe. Mm-hmm. He's wearing some jeans that are like, you know, a little baggy at the bottom, but he's wearing Timberlands.
Yes, he is.
Timbies.
Those were such a thing, man.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, What do you think?
I definitely remember when the puffy coats were in. They're kind of still in. Like, it's like, I feel like it's like a less puffy version of a puffy coat. I remember owning a puffy coat and like not being able to fit it in my locker because they just weren't meant for coats of that size. But Timberlands are certainly still in. Like, people definitely still wear them. I do like this outfit for Corey. I feel like he wears so much red. That is like his signature color. Purple was like season one's signature color for him. But now we are like full into red.
Full red. I agree. Next up, another Feeney look. This is Feeney arriving at the cabin. His traveling outfit. I love this. He is wearing a bucket hat. And bucket hats are back in, by the way.
Yes. That makes me so happy. I think I'm going to ask for one for my birthday.
A scarf. A plaid scarf. He has a really nice, like, olivey green jacket, a utility jacket, lots of pockets, some
pocket
jeans, and he's wearing some sort of brown boot as well. I don't think it's a Timberland, but it's definitely like a hiking mountain boot. What do you think of Feeney's outfit?
I am obsessed with it, mainly because the hat matches the coat. That coat looks so warm, but it doesn't really age, right? Like, people wear this all the time. Living in, you know, the Northeast, totally you would see somebody wearing this in the winter. I love a plaid scarf. I love how he has it, like, tucked in. I just think this outfit is so, first of all, it's, like, winter Feeney, right?
Yes.
We have different versions of Feeney. We have, like, school Feeney, vacation Feeney, winter Feeney. And I love it. I love this color of, like, olive as well.
I do, too. Tell me why he reminds me of Paddington Bear.
I think his the hat. I think it's the hat.
Yeah, definitely. Last up, we have Amy from episode 10, arriving when Eric is like screaming that he got a date with Rebecca Alexa. Yes. She is wearing a cream turtleneck. You know, Jessica, I love the turtlenecks. It's a turtleneck sweater. Cream, beautiful. Underneath this really nice baggy cardigan sweater that's olive as well, and it looks so cozy, and I really, really want it, and I love this vibe of an outfit. She has like a over the shoulder like saddle bag. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her pants are like, but I'm sure
it's hard to tell. Yeah,
they're black, like pants.
No, they're jeans. You could see the one jeans. Thing you have. It's like a light denim, like usual.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Why am I like this? I didn't even see that picture. I forgot about it.
No, but yeah, this is light totally jeans. Like, I love a slouchy sweater like this, and I actually love the idea. I mean, it's probably hot as fuck. Like, you'd need this outfit on a very cold day because the combination of a turtleneck with like a slouchy sweater is really pretty. I especially think like the cream and the olive go together very well.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to duplicate this outfit.
I think you should. I think it'd be easy enough to do. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is a tough competition between Amy and Feeny because I really love both of their outfits, and surprisingly, they're both wearing olive. But I have to give it to my man Feeny because this bucket hat is my favorite thing. Like, as much as I love Amy's outfit, and I do, I feel like I have to spread the wealth and give it to Feeny. Give it to the man, Feeny, man. He, especially because this is the episode he shines in. So
yeah, two good categories for both Feeny and Amy.
Truly, yes, it was a really embarrassment of riches this episode for Fashion Hour, or these episodes, I should say.
Yes, it was.
Wonderful.
Love it. Blend it.
Booyah. Yeah, that was great. I especially loved episode 11. I'm really excited for what we have left of the season. And speaking of, next week, we are stopping down for a single episode. So if you are watching along with us, your homework is only one episode this week. Season 3, episode 12, The Grass is Always Greener. Super excited. I can't remember what this episode is, but I know it must be important if we're stopping down.
How do you not remember this episode?
I didn't look at the description.
Well, I remember it just by the name.
I mean, I am assuming if we're stopping down that Topanga and Corey break up, because they break up like 6 times.
Spoilers
for a show that's like 15 years old. So yes, your homework is only one episode. But keep up with us. We're having a great time. Super excited about what we have left in the season. But we have so much else coming up. As always, check out our Dawson's Creek content. Season 2 is full of fucking bangers. Like, season 2 of Dawson's Creek is like peak 90s TV teen drama. Like, it's so good. So you should, even if you don't watch it, listen to us podcast about it, because it you wouldn't believe some of the storylines. We also have our bonus podcast for July coming out soon. We already recorded it with Kevin Mahadeo. We talked Hook. It was so much fun. We love having Kevin on. He's just like, whenever he comes on, he's so knowledgeable about whatever he's talking about. It's just like such a pleasure to talk to him. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be coming out in a couple of days for you all. Sarah, where can people find us? Where can they send in the lovely feedback that we love getting?
Shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, shit90spod@gmail.com if you want to send in feedback. Love it. And just a reminder, if you are a lover of Fashion Hour and want to see our, you know, nominations, we post it on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. So check it out, follow along. And that's about it. You can follow us elsewhere at Sarah Ferguson.
At DJ Sterling on Twitter.
Yeah, follow, like, comment, subscribe.
Ratings, all of the above.
Right.
And then keep an ear out, because we will have bonus content for the month of August. It is my birthday month. So just to give a little sneak preview of the theme, it is things I like, because it's my fucking birthday month. And that's what happens. Hey-o,
let's go.
So, I mean, I'm a Leo, and I have to talk about it, even though it's still a decent amount of ways. So, yeah, that's coming up. Super excited for all of that. Thank you all for listening so much and being here with us every week. Also, Sarah, I was looking today. We are, like, really coming up on our one-year anniversary of the podcast. Like, it is a little over a month away.
Oh, wow.
Is Look that us. Wild to you? Because I looked it up today and it blew my mind that it's been almost a year of this.
I think we're like episodes away from our 100th episode as well, if we didn't hit it already.
I have to do the math on that. Yeah, you're right. We should do the math on that. I kind of want to do, I don't want to spoil anything, but I kind of, for like our 1 year anniversary, I kind of want to do like a data analysis thing. No, like a data analysis thing. So like, okay, this is how many hours we've recorded of content. This is how many podcasts we've had, how many downloads, like all. Oh. I think that'd be fun to like get that data.
Okay, well, I thought that we were going to do a clip show, and you're like, let's get the data. We're going to get a data analysis. Who are you, Minkus? Like, get a.
I want to see all the data, and I want to see all the calculations.
We could do a clip show. We could do a clip show. That's fine, too.
Let's look at the statistics. I'll make an Excel spreadsheet about it.
I will make a spreadsheet about it.
Yeah. Try again.
But anyway, coming up on that 1 year anniversary, thank you all for listening so much. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Just bye. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.